We're so looking forward to you playing Mozart here with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you.
They are such a special group. They, you know, work without a conductor and make some really wonderful decisions. Is it kind of like not having a net as a trapeze, or is it something that's very intimate?
It's fun, and it doesn't feel like, you know, have any more need of a net than usual. I haven't played with Orpheus in many years. I've only ever played with them once before. So I'm sure they have, although I think many of the same members, but certainly some different ones. It's really like playing a piano quintet or something, or, you know, sextet, or even just a trio. And we'll have good rehearsals, so it should be fine.
You're going to be on tour with them and play at Carnegie Hall, I know. And so that's got to be a lot of ways to communicate with Mozart, I imagine.
Yes, I think it's nice to have repeats. I mean, I'm expecting everything to be reasonably positive. Of course, if you're having a really bad time and you have repeats, there's a fate worse than death. But I'm looking forward to this, and I think that there's a certain freedom sense, possibilities for more creativity, precisely because there is no conductor.
This is early Mozart, and it's such a masterpiece. Everyone's sort of critics and music lovers, call this, you know, sort of the first genius of the concertos. Is it one of your favorites?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is. I was actually a little startled. I read some program notes the other day, and I was a little startled to what degree Einstein, Alfred, obviously, his comments about this piece are saying that something about Mozart never, it was never bettered. I thought, wow, that's a strong statement. You know, when you think about things like the big E-flat 482 and D minor and C minor concertos and E-flat 595, but I kind of agree. There's practically no aspect of Mozart missing in this concerto. This extreme, extraordinary last movement that has suddenly, in the minuet, you are transported to a ballroom with the buckled shoes and powdered wigs, and it's quite exceptional. And it's full of cadenzas. The opening of the slow movement is almost, you know, it's something between, Don Giovanni and a mass. And the first movement, already with this audacious beginning, you know, having a fanfare for the orchestra, and immediately the pianist makes a comment. So, I mean, that wasn't even gotten close to until in musical composition in classical music, until Beethoven wrote the fourth concerto.
Yeah.
So it's got one magical thing after another, purely in the compositional structural sense, and then actually hearing the beauty of the piece. It's pretty astonishing, actually.
Andre Watts is my guest, and we're so looking forward to this Mozart concerto with Orpheus here at Purdue. We won't mention that we're rivals at IU and Purdue. I imagine that it's probably nice. You've been teaching for a while now, and that not only is that probably important, but it's probably nice for students to be you performing this close that with Orpheus, that they can actually come and see it.
Well, I guess so. I hadn't thought about it in those terms, you know. And then just yesterday, a couple of my students said, "Well, we're thinking of going to the concert. I mean, when is it exactly?" You know, that kind of. And I thought, "Oh my, oh dear, okay." So yes, it's nice. I have played here too, so it's not always necessary to travel, but it's gratifying that students will make a small trip to hear a professor play, and as we say in this case, hopefully in the sweetest possible way, even going to visit the camp of the enemy to hear some good music.
I'm excited about this concert.
Good, good. I'm looking forward to it also.